going, yeah? How you going, yeah? How you going, yeah? G'day, Nighty from the Cosmic Psychos here. Welcome to How You Going, a show where I sit down for a drink and catch up with one of my mates. You'll know my mate in this episode is the most talented and best-looking cosmic psycho. The star of the show, John Mad Macca McKeering. Macca is one of the most interesting blokes I know. Not only can he shred like no one else, but as he tells it, he's had four careers. The first of them was a swimming coach. He was bloody handy as a swimmer himself, but found his calling helping others to hone their craft. His second career was being a lawyer, and his third was a public servant. He's got a degree in political science and a Master of Arts Musicology. That's new to me. But of course, his most constant career, if you want to call it one, is a musician. Before he started with the Psychos, he was one third of the Brisbane band The Onyas. They played balls-to-the-wall punk rock that didn't give a shit what anyone thought, which is why he slipped right in after Robbie Rocket left us. For this chat, we took a break from rehearsing for our tour and set ourselves up in the shed. We'd already had a few heaps normals and bod-riggy Cosmic Psychos drafts, but we brought a few more along just to keep things going. And while I've got you, Cosmic Psychos' new album, I Really Like Beer, is out now. And right at this moment, we're on the road, coming to a venue near you. Hold on to your hats, Queensland. You're the next on the radar. We're coming to Ipswich, Gold Coast, Maroochydore and Brizzy. And then it's over to the west for a few dates around Perth. Plus, we've just announced that we're coming to Europe and the UK in April and May of 2026. We're doing 24 gigs across the UK, Netherlands, Belgium, France, Spain, Germany, and even popping into Italy. For dates and tickets and all that, have a look at cosmicpsychos.com.au and we'll see you there. Anyway. Hey, Macca, how you going?
Not too bad, thanks, Ross. This is a tape-recorded interview between Dr. Ross Barry Knight and John Alexander McKeering of 4101. Ross, do you agree that the time is now 12:42 p.m.?
I agree.
Thank you. Now, what is your date of birth and age?
Are you interviewing me?
What is your date of birth and age?
14/12/1961, 63 and a bit.
Okay, my date of birth is 21/6/1972, and I'm 53.
Do you plead guilty?
No comment.
So what have we been up to, Macca?
I've been here for 2 days, or since 1:30 on Wednesday morning, after you picked me up after the race that stops the nation and stopped the airport. Yeah, we've had a sleep and we've had a couple of beers and we did a lot of practice yesterday with Dan Peters and we've done a bit of practice this morning and then we've been rudely interrupted, but that's okay.
Well, there's only one way to be interrupted and that's rudely, Macca, isn't
it? That's correct, yeah.
Well, it's the end of the interview.
Yeah.
So there you have it, just a couple of bandmates having a chat and a giggle. So apart from getting the chaos of the Race That Stops the Nation airport fiasco, what else have you been up to, Macca?
Looking after my kids, going to work, and that's about it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And that, getting up at 4:45 and going to bed at 9.
And why are you getting up at 4:45?
Because my boy has to go to rowing nearly every day. Yeah.
He could have picked a sport that started at about 6 o'clock in the evening, surely.
Well, he could have, but that wouldn't be his style.
Is it? Is it something to do with the current of the river? And that's not a swear word, by the way.
Yeah, it's another problem as well. Yeah. The current's all over the place in the Brisbane River, especially at West End Reach.
You got to hate them currents.
Yes, yeah, and ants don't live in the sea.
Right, don't they?
No.
Unreal, but so yeah, now you work a pretty steady 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
We don't have to say anything about where you work or whatever.
Yeah.
But that consistency, is that good or bad for you?
I think it's probably good because I smoke a hell of a lot less cigarettes than if I wasn't working.
All right. Oh, well, a bit of structure maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had a 9-to-5 job.
No, you got a 12-to-12 job, AM to AM.
Yeah, buggerising around doing nothing.
Doing more than you would say.
Yeah. So, obviously, you put in a lot of time with both of your kids. So, is that, you know, what's it like being a dad? I mean, when you're a dad, you just become a dad, and then that's it. There's no warning.
There's no warning. Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, they're both 15. As you know, they're twins. The girl came out first, so she runs the show by 2 minutes. Dad is good. It probably helped my life a lot when it happened, a lot. So, you know, and keeps me half organised, so that's good.
Yeah. And juggling, like, when you got to go away, like, as we do, we go away every now and again, but...
Yeah.
Juggling that, it's always, it's not easy. I know I never found it easy, but I'm
it's not easy, but you make it happen, you know. Yeah.
It's good to have friends and support.
Yeah, should be. But no, the girl dances and the boy does rowing, amongst other things. And, you know, they're doing okay at it and they really into it. So they said it was good if Delene, my wife's dad, came and lived with us. Because he would be the only one who isn't obsessed with what they do.
Yeah.
That was Gus's comment.
Yeah. Honey, I remember, I'll never forget when Gus, you were out at Fuckwit City there.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me the story about Gus. He would have been, three or four?
Four.
He was out the front of the house, and what did he say?
He was hanging off the gate, and I said, "Get off that gate." And he said, "It's my life." Yeah, at four.
Yeah, so. you've got a natural leader there.
Oh, yeah.
So we're about to go on a pretty long, hectic tour, Macca.
Yes.
And
over three, nearly 4 months.
Yeah, so a month off. Would you like to sort of explain your tactics for the first month? There's going to be a little bit of bobbing about.
There's going to be a bit of bobbing about, especially with our man Dan on the drums. There'll be a bit of bobbing about there. We're bobbing about in practice and no doubt we'll bob about for the first few shows. But no, look, there's nothing, I don't know, it's not that weird. You just get up, go to the show, have a couple of beers, play the show in different forms because, as you know, you're born of the jazz. And I learned that bit of that off you, but also off records. And I think Dan has a bit of the jazz in him as well. Well, he's going to have it tomorrow night onwards anyway. There's no argument there. And get up, play the show, have fun, and then have a few more beers and go to bed, then do it all again.
Yeah, but like you did. Now, last weekend, for instance, so the Onyas play in Melbourne for the first time in 21 years.
It wasn't that long.
Was it? Yeah. Well, we'll say 21. Sounds really good.
Yeah.
We'll say 42.
It's probably 8 anyway.
Oh, well, there you go. But like this tour, like we're going to be playing gigs. We're going to be finishing, and you're going to the airport, and then you get a plane home for a day and a half,
yeah,
basically, and go back to work, and then jump on a plane and meet up with us, and then play a gig, and then fly home again. It's like you're zigzagging all over the place.
Yeah, I suppose I am. One of my friends said I'm doing more flights than Albo. But, I mean, that's being a bit up yourself. No. But not you, me. Moving around. But once we get to Queensland, I'm there for 10 days.
Well, you do live there.
Well, that's true. I've been there for a lot of days in my life. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to that because we just play, come home, and I can still run the kids as well, you know.
But this is kind of you're a repeat offender with all this kind of zigzagging all over the world because I remember...
It's been going on forever.
Forever. Like, didn't you have to go over to Manchester to give a speech or a talk?
Yeah, I talked at the Punk Rock Scholars Network conference and then... We flew back and the plane at Dubai missed the other flight to Adelaide. And we call it Adelaide around here. And when I got there, I got to customs and I said, I'm supposed to be on stage in about 10 minutes. And we're at the airport. And I said, I've got to get to North Terrace. And the guy checked me and said, you're all right, go. And then, as you know, I walked in my Oasis gear, sort of. It's not that bad.
Didn't quite suit you.
No, no. And some other dude was up playing guitar and I took it off him and off we went at the Lion Arts Factory or whatever else it's been called.
But that's kind of, I think that was, who was that from? It was Bad Dreams, wasn't it? It was
the guitar player,
The guitar player for Bad Dreams. So he got the late call up because you were going to be late.
Yeah.
But this is... happened before, I think, another time going, why is it always Adelaide?
Adelaide. I don't know why it's always Adelaide because I love it. It's got the Torrens title system there, which is very prominent in Queensland as well. I was taught in the 90s.
So there was another time there where your plane got delayed and we had to look around the crowd and we got Ock from the Meat Beaters.
That's
right.
We
said, hey, Ock, could you jump up and play a few songs? He goes, oh, shit, I only come here for a beer and watch you blokes. But he was really pissed off, right? I think we were about six songs into the set before you turned up then.
Yeah, well, that was a Jetstar flight. It was running late and we got into Adelaide and Ox mate Mick from Iron Sheik's Meat Beaters, The Plague, etc. He picked me up with his partner and they drove me to the venue and he warned me. He said, Ock is up there playing at the moment. And he said, it was at the Gov in Adelaide. So, yeah, and that was pretty COVID-ish time. So I ran up, walked on the stage with my mask on, ripped it off, and we played Fuckwit City. There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, we went over to Europe. Like, you came over to Europe with us on your first trip to Europe. That was your first, like, as a band, the Onyas.
And out of the country, yeah.
So I could never get over the fact that somehow the Onyas and Deleen...
I didn't know Deleen.
No, not the first time.
But the second.
The Onyas, in this tiny little car.
Yeah, well, like, saves money.
It saved money. So you followed us in our van around.
Yes.
Everywhere, and we're thinking that you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it, but you always did.
Yeah.
Even when you got locked up in...
Bern, Switzerland,
at a punk rock protest or something.
Yeah.
You want to go into that kind of
Well, what
story?
Happened there was there was a anarchy-style festival on in Bern that weekend and we drove within 40 metres of the venue. Deleen had a bit of blue painted in her hair, like a hair treatment, and she was, I don't know if she was in the front seat, she may have been, I'm not sure, but these dudes who came out with these hats that looked like Star Wars, like big... half bowl things came out with their guns onto the middle of the road and stopped us. We went, oh, this is not looking too good. And anyway, they pulled us out of the car and they started talking to us. And then they, what do you call those tie things? I can't think of off the...
Cable tie things.
They cable tied the things behind our hands behind our back and threw us in this sort of military-style van. And I looked at one of these dudes with the hat on and I said, is this bad? And he goes, yes. Anyway, so they take us back to the jail and I was a bit concerned for one bit because Deleen got put in a cell without us. Right. I was a bit concerned at that point, but she was having a good time talking to everyone in the cells and all this. And it was like before the cells, they put us in a pen with chook wire-ish and it was like mohawks getting thrown in with us all high-fiving each other and hugging each other because they'd rebelled against the system or whatever. So, yeah, we got put in these rooms and then they looked at, you know, cavities and stuff. They could realise nothing happened and then allegedly... the club, it was that Reich School, Reich Hall or whatever you call it, they rang the mayor or the mayor's office and said, hey, these guys have got to do a gig. They got nothing to do with this. They sort of saw that we didn't have any mohawks. There was a bit of blue hair. But beyond that, we weren't doing anything. And they ended up letting us go. So we went to the gig, and then from memory, I sat up drinking with you and whatever else until 7:30 the next morning. We did the gig, and then we went to the next town.
Yeah, it was a big night.
Yeah, you were up till 7:30.
Yeah. Was that the night when the Charis incident with Digger?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can talk about that, can't we? Digger, Digger goes, oh, apparently I've met some bloke that can get me some Charis pot. And he goes, oh, but I've always wanted to have a go at it. So he did, and he basically went purple and collapsed. Remember, I'm sitting with him. I had to stay by him. He just...
And that's one of the reasons you're up to 7:30. Not saying you didn't drink either.
No, no, yeah. I was drinking, but I had to sit with Digger. And he just went out, and he went purple, and he sort of went pale, and then he started vomiting, and I'm making sure I put him in it.
So it would come out his mouth.
Yeah, recovery position, and I'm getting pretty worried about him. And he wakes up, and I go, mate, are you all right? I'm so worried about you. He goes, oh, that was amazing. And I thought, I'm sitting there watching him die for 6 hours. He goes, oh, that was good. Now, speaking of the pot, now this is, we're getting, you have to go, you can go anywhere you like with this, but going to Europe for the first time, you young fellas.
Yes.
You really hopped into the pot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like it was, every time we got to a venue, it was like, here come the Onyas. The car would pull up. It was still almost rolling. Yeah. And you three would run in and start doing bucket bong smoking, whatever you bloody could.
Yeah. No and good that, for your health, though.
Well, obviously no good for your health.
Yeah.
So what was the result of that in the end of the day?
Don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just no good for you.
Yeah,
you know, that's about what it is. I mean, too much anything's no good, and that was what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, but it was. I don't know how you blokes managed to stand up sometimes. Are you that?
No, I don't either.
I don't smoke, but
yeah,
the amount of Dutch vegetables that you blokes consume is quite astounding.
Yeah.
But there was that, and then there was the fatal, the incident of you falling down a staircase, I remember.
Yeah, it was somewhere in Holland. I had Aaron Williams boots on with Cuban heels. There's two floors, so and it went like a curl. And anyway, my shoes didn't just have the leather soles. It was that first trip.
Yeah.
And I'm holding my guitar in one hand and my bag in the other, and I went on the first step and flipped for two floors down to the bottom stairs. And the Dutch came out, the people who run the hotel went, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah. And I wasn't. I mean, I was quite crook in the back. And we got to Groningen and I was pretty
Yeah, you weren't
sore.
Good.
Yeah, you weren't good. Yeah, but by Den Bosch, her Todgen Bosch, we were all right again with my mate Jeff Dahl.
Oh, right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Jeff Darwood, the tiny amps on the kitchen chairs.
With red sheets on the front of them. Yeah, and Theo had been on that tour earlier.
Ooh, yeah, well, Theo might have helped with the recovery as well.
Yeah. But Theo said to Jeff, bloody boring rubbish you're playing, Jeff. I'm going home. And he didn't do the merch anymore.
Oh, Theo, what a ripper. That was Ripcord Records in Groningen. So there's a record shop. Oh, you can explain the record shop.
You know it. I never saw he was out of the shop by the time we met him.
Oh, he had a record shop. And then what was his big, tall Dodo? His mate? Was it Dodo?
Yeah.
So Dodo had a bar next door. Was it Dodo? I can't remember.
Or Dodo was one. But
one
then
of them.
Yop had something to do with
Yop
it.
Yeah, Yop had
too.
Something. So he had a record shop. A corner record shop, and right next door was a bar.
Yeah.
So he got sick of, he'd open the record shop every day and sit there, and he got sick of walking out the front door and into the bar to get a drink.
Yeah.
So he got a sledgehammer and just knocked a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And just put a bit of carpet there. So it was just sort of like he'd just go, hey, I'll have a beer. And they've just like this hole, and it was just a hole in the wall.
And a beer would appear.
And the famous saying that we still used today when we said, what did you do for the summer holidays?
Yeah.
And what was it?
Bobbing about.
Bobbing about in the North Sea.
In the North Sea, yeah.
He goes on a summer trip and that's what it was a bit bloody cold.
I went to Australia in 1975 and Australia wasn't very good to me. They ripped my tent down. Remember that one?
And then we started when Robbie Rockett was a bit crook.
Yeah.
You came along and played, what, 60-odd gigs? 60,
yeah.
With the Psychos back in the 90s?
Yeah.
Was one of them tours the Magic Dirt Tour?
It's 99.
Yeah.
I
reckon.
Yeah. With Raul Sanchez asleep in the paddock.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah that was a...
And Pop saving milk.
That's...
yeah, from the fridges.
That's it. Yeah. Very rock and roll.
Yeah.
Did you play the beach cricket down at Warrnambool?
Yeah. Billy A set out a good line and length.
Yeah. That's. Yeah, the famous beach cricket at Lady Bay.
Yeah, Lady Bay Hotel, yeah, Warrnambool.
That was it. And we all got sunburnt to the shit. We'd just recovered from getting sunburnt up at...
Lawn.
No, it wasn't Lawn. It was no up
Lawn
on...
near there.
Yeah, but no, we got really sunburnt up in Coffs Harbour or somewhere up.
Yeah,
in
I had a pair of purple togs and I lost them in the room. They looked a bit weird too, so I'm glad
I
did.
Speaking of weird, I do remember on one of the Onyas tours of Europe... you would always strip off and then set fire to your undies.
Yeah.
That was the sort of finish of the Onya show. And then I remember you burned all your undies and Delaine, your wife's going, you started wearing her undies.
Yeah.
And Delaine coming up to me going, geez,
I
wish you'd, I wish you'd stop doing this. I'm running out of undies.
Yeah, that's about what happened, yeah.
Yeah. So seeing you playing guitar wearing... your wife's knickers with your agates hanging out both sides and then setting them on fire is something that's probably never going to leave my mind.
No, I get that.
Yeah, I wish it would.
I think it will.
Just time.
Stay positive.
Positive, always. I think we need another can.
Yes.
Did you know that I really like beer? Well, I'm here to tell you about a bloody ripper of a Victorian beer called Bodrigi Brewing. And I bloody love them because they brew beers that taste like beer. It's beer so good, we're making a Cosmic Psychos draft with them. Available on tap at all good pubs. If your local doesn't have it, ask them why. Good on you, Bodrigi. We're in for a grueling time. It's going to be you and me.
It won't be grueling.
Oh, well,
it's the wrong word.
It's the wrong word. Sorry about that. I do apologise. So we're in for a great time.
Yeah.
So and we've dragged Dan Peters in for the first month, and we've got our mate BC for the second month. You know why do we do it?
Because it's fun and we love it.
Yeah. Well, it ain't sort of. It's not actually a cash cow, but
no, not particularly.
There's you flying all over the countryside to get
bobbing about
to get back to work for a couple of days, then join up again. But you know, why is it so much fun for you?
Because we're mates.
Yeah.
And whoever we get in on the drums is mates too.
Mm.
And that's it. And then all Alan and Matthew, and it's all friends and stuff. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, everyone gets on. I mean, everyone gets a bit, but bloody hell, for the amount of hours we put in, it's about $6 an hour. Yeah. You know.
I reckon that's a bit more.
A bit too positive.
Yeah, a bit too positive, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of days, I don't know whether it's work or not, but I don't give a shit. But we're doing a lot of times 18-hour days at points. But who cares?
Well, an 18-hour day is all right if you have a couple of beers for breakfast. It sort of It settles it out a little bit. Not that we do it every day.
Mm.
Maybe only 6 days a week.
Yeah, but no, it's fun. Yeah. You know,
so. Well, I figure we play because you enjoy it. That's for me. No, there's no. We're not going to buy a
Porsche.
A Porsche.
Oh, you might.
What? A Porsche?
Not out of this, though.
No, not out of this. But I kind of think, what else could you do? I mean, what do you do?
Well, this is right. I mean, people, especially at our age, this is a very foreign concept, what's going on. Not for everyone. The people who do it, it's not a foreign concept. But to those who don't, it can be, you know, and that's not bad or good or whatever. It's just what we choose to do.
Oh, I think we're lucky. I really do.
Fuck yeah.
To be able to do that and juggle things like, you know, my kids have left, but juggling the family life and touring and all that kind of stuff, it is a juggle and you can't do it on your own.
No.
It's like, it's fun. And why should you stop doing something that's really so much fun that it's important for you? It's a party. Yeah. That's what I reckon.
Well, that's true. It is a party, yeah.
I mean, how good do we go when we haven't played for 2 months? We still ring each other up every day like going, oh, where are you going?
Yeah, waiting for the next shambles to start.
Yeah. Do you want to play for $200 at up a pine tree in the snowfields or something? Yeah, no worries.
It takes 10 hours to get there collectively and all that. But yeah, no, it's cool.
No, man. Well, I mean, you got to love it. If you don't, you shouldn't be doing it.
That's right. Totally.
So how long are you going to carry on with this shambles, Macca? Is there going to be a point where you go, I don't want to do anything anymore?
No, I don't think so. But I think that you play, as long as it comes out reasonably, that's enough.
Hmm.
And as long as it doesn't, the age and all that's bullshit, right? But as long as you can get the music out, it's cool. That's how I see it. If we were playing, I mean, we played some shockers, like at the Chelsea Heights Hotel.
Oh, jeez. No, I don't want to remember that one.
Yeah, that was a shocker. But, if you're coming out like that every night, I think you'd probably go knock it on the head. But that hasn't happened since then, and that was about 10 years ago.
Well, the best thing
we have a weird one every now and again, but if you're having weird ones night after night and your brain's not really working, well, you probably shouldn't do it.
The beauty of a three-piece, everyone can have a night off. Not a night off, an off night is what I'm trying to say. And it's a small enough unit to help the other one across the road.
Yeah.
As in, if you're falling asleep by track 5.
Yeah.
In the middle of a lead break. I'm not saying who it
That's
was.
That's never happened.
No, but something like that.
Actually, it has happened quite often.
And I'm the same way. There'd be some. I might get a bit carried away sometimes and have a few too many beers, and I might be a bit on the slow side or a bit on the, we'll just say the slow side.
Yeah.
But then again, there's other times you never know when that's going to happen. So I remember when we played in London last year, there was that little pub right next door.
Yeah, Tufnell Park.
Yeah, and then we sat in there all afternoon.
Yeah.
And then a lot of punters coming in that were going to the gig, we're drinking with them and all that kind of stuff. And then the next thing I remember was waking up in the band room with Al shaking me going, you're on in 10 minutes. Yeah. I don't even know how we got back. And then I remember sitting up and then I'm looking at the shower and I could see it was your legs hanging out the shower. You decided to go to sleep in the shower. But that was a good show.
Mm.
That was fine. Yeah, but the Chelsea Heights, that's a show we're never going to get back.
We're never going to get that one back. And it was a very disappointing performance. But anyway, there hasn't been many since then. That's 10 years ago.
I remember I got found in the car park with no shirt on in thick fog.
Yeah, I went to Macca's across the vortex and got a couple of burgers. Yeah. That's about where it sits, I reckon. If you couldn't do it reasonably, I've always got this theory that music's good for your brain. I don't know if standing in a pub for a long time is long term. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. Mm. I don't know, but music's good for your brain. You know what I mean? But we have beers and we're still here, so we're all right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. We're talking about when you flew over to Manchester for a day.
Yeah,
to talk three days.
Paul. I took him to a fish and chip shop.
Oh, well, it made it worth it then.
And also I took him to dinner at this really bad place. The food was fucking shocking.
Well, that was worth it. But you've done all this stuff where you've got different, you've done stuff in universities I don't know much about.
Yeah.
There's stuff, what led to that, and then what happened to you from when you were about 12 onwards to go through all these diverse
different
things.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, when I first finished school, I got into art at University of Queensland, and I think I got into arts journalism. So I did that. I probably never told you that.
So you had to write about art.
No. You did these subjects like JR 101, right, which is Introduction to Journalism, where the guy basically tells you that you learn how to conjure up images and you'll end up with a drinking problem, right, as a journalist. That's what the guy said, right?
You lost me. I'm so glad I'm a bass player.
Yeah. So that started. And then I was doing government subjects as well. And there's this one called GT100. I've actually reached the words in these days. I've reached out to the lecturer in the last 10 years and been over his place and drunk a bottle of scotch. And he said to me that, because in the GT100, I got 7. It goes 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's 500 people. They give out, this is smoking my trumpet, but this is what happened. They'd give 5 sevens out of 500 people, and I got one. All I talked about was Whitlam, Johnny Howard, and I can't remember the third topic. But anyway, I got 7. So I kept doing that for a bit. And then things got weird and I went off and did law because that's where you make money. Allegedly, this is what I was told. And I did that for a while and I was ended up at QUT doing it and finished it. I sort of decided that I didn't really, well, after 5 years of study, I didn't want to be a lawyer or I didn't want to go into it straight away. So that's where we got to, ended up. We've been playing the band all the way through. By 95, the band, Onyas was going, well, we thought it was going pretty good or it was getting better. And then we went to Europe in 96 and then the tours came up, et cetera, and I was coaching swimming and stuff. And that was enough to keep you going through summer. And then winter, you just went on the dole. And then knowing that you'd go back to work in summer again. And that went on till 99. And then Spencer P. Jones, this is going off the tangent, but it's in my head, so I'll say it. I was with you and Dan would have been there and Mark and Steve and Matt Lucan was there. And Spencer Jones was there because he was at the Dockside Hotel in Brisbane. He was there playing with Paul Kelly, I think Slide or something like that. And he said to me, I know the guy you should work for. It's Simon Northeast, because he'd known him through associations in Melbourne, in Russia. And I rang Simon when we got, because we decided to all move to Melbourne in about March 1999, after the Onyas played with New Bomb Turks around the country. And we went to Melbourne and I rang Simon when I got there. We had nowhere to live. We were living in a mate's place, Delene and I, etc. I rang Simon and said, look, have you got any work? Because this is before the days of internet and applying for jobs like that. You could still do it a bit by word of mouth.
Yeah.
A bit. And I said, can I come work for you? I go, my referee, Spencer P. Jones. And he goes, what's Spencer's number, mate? And I read it out to him. And he goes, all right. And then I don't know what happened. He may have rang me back. All right. Well, I would have rang him. He wouldn't be ringing me back at that point. He said, right, I'll give you a Thursday. I need someone on Thursdays. And I said, thanks very much. He goes, don't thank me till you get here, mate. So then I spent a couple of years working with him. 1 year pretty much for cheap, and then I got articles through him and became admitted to the bar in Victoria. And we were basically looking after a lot of disadvantaged people coming out of the flats in Collingwood, Carlton, wherever else the flats were, Williamstown, I don't know. And it was a completely different sort of thing for me, because prior to that I worked in private schools teaching swimming for 6 years. And to go and work with all these disadvantaged people was the best thing I ever did. to learn about that side of how things operate and all that, you know. I know that's gone off the track, but it's sort of on the track too. Yeah. So.
Yeah. What did that teach you? Like the lessons you've took
well,
out of
teach
that?
Well, teach you there's all sorts of people. And, I mean, these people didn't have a cracker and they didn't have a lot of fucking luck, most of them. And they weren't bad people at all. And I shouldn't even say it that way in terms of they're just people that never got a fucking dollar. You know, and some of them are really, really smart. Some of them weren't, but I've seen ones with money. Some of them are smart, but I also see a lot of dumb money, you know, and the dumb money leads to all this fucking waste that should be given to other people. You know, that's what it taught me, and a lot of empathy, not sympathy, empathy, to empathise with them. After I did that, and it was only 2-3 years, about two and a bit, because Simon let me go and do a Anya's tour out the back of a car for 3 months in America in 2000 before I started articles. And he said, mate, when you're back after that trip, you're under the pump, which never happened. But it just shows you that there's all these people out there that don't get a lot of luck. It's not a good thing for them, but it's not a bad thing on them. They're all right, you know, so, yeah.
If you're a bit like me and you want to say no to water, then be like me and always keep a slab of Heaps Normal in the fridge. It'll get you through those good times that are too good to be wasted. And when I'm on the dozer, Heaps Normal non-alcoholic beers give me the same heavenly taste of beer when I just can't afford the hassle. I call them stunt beers because you get all the action without anyone doing a mischief to themselves. Heaps Normal. Too good to be wasted. We've known each other for a long time and you've had some pretty... you've had some pretty dark times.
Yeah.
And I'd sort of, you know... and. I was never really present at your darkest times, but there was a couple of
but
times.
You've always supported me.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, always supported you. But yeah, to see you fall off your perch as I did one day in Brittany somewhere.
We went to Pinkham Bar of France.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then just to see, and it was just because you were exhausted.
Yeah.
But to see you take that, it was almost instant. Like you could, it was built up. You were exhausted. Playing with the Psychos and the Anyas and tired. And we went for that walk one day and just to see you going through all that shit, like it was painful to watch. But
yeah,
we walked.
And we're still walking.
We walked. And
you
walked.
Helped that happen. Maybe you're a counsellor or a psychiatrist.
Well, I didn't tell you
you're
about
both.
Me. Oh, mate, that's absolutely highly qualified.
Yeah.
But
you push the trolleys in the hospital. You know a bit more than you let on.
Yeah, I did that. But just to see you going through that hurt and then how you deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, obviously there's probably medication involved or whatever, but how you deal with that. And has that changed actually since the kids have come along too?
That helps, but it didn't fix the problem. Oh. I still had the problem after the kids were born. Yeah, look, the thing with that is, and for some I can see that it doesn't get to that point. You got to keep fighting it, but sometimes if you just fucking talk, it can fix things quicker. It doesn't fix it on the hit or like on the one spot, but it can fix it as you go on. I mean, look, I'm medicated now. You know, and I'm probably medicated forever. That's what I've been told. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. I told Alan the other week that I hadn't taken some of my medication for 3 weeks and I was yelling at him and he laughed. And I laughed too and got back on it. But, if that makes sense. Is that all right?
It does make sense. It does make sense.
Yeah, but you got to talk. I mean, it's a cliche because it's all those big mental health institutes or institutions, not institutes, say you've got to talk about it, you know. And you do, but that's not the whole fix of the problem, but it will help, you know.
Let off a bit of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two cousins who are gone. you know, and there's a gene there. But I don't believe I've copped it like they do. They did, you know. Yeah, as I told you the story, my cousin Matthew, we were down there with our auntie. I was about seven, or it might have been eight or something. He was there too. And there was this dude there with our aunt, our now great aunt, he's now passed, Bill. He is the most sideways comment of all. He said, "Hey, Bill, why have you got two chins?" I don't know what that means, but that's what happened, you know. He was completely sideways on stuff, yeah.
All right, mate, well, it's been a pleasure. Oh, yeah, every time we talk, I find out more about you. So, and I will see you
in about 10 seconds
having a bit of a rehearsal with Mr. Dan Peters.
No problem.
All right, mate.
Good on you.
See you later.
Bye.
So there you have it, just a couple of bandmates having a chat and a giggle. Macca, you're a legend. I'll see you in the tour van. How You Going is produced by Sam Loy with Matt Weston as the executive producer. It's proudly supported by Heaps Normal and Bod Riggy Brewing, the best brewskis going round. Now, that was the last regular episode of How You Going for this year, but we'll be back in 2026 with more chats between me and me mates. But before that, we'll be releasing a special episode of the show recorded on tour in New South Wales. I can't play you a sneaky look from it because it hasn't even been recorded yet, but it's coming soon. And speaking of the I Really Like Beer tour, Cosmic Psychos are on the road right now. Check out cosmicpsychos.com.au for all the drip tray details. All right, I've got to get out of here. I'll see you soon. How you going, yeah?